Pretty sad day because Rabbi Bernberger's father passed away. On the other hand, it's a very happy day because Chanoch Schreier, I don't know if you know him, his wife gave birth to a baby boy. So that's really nice. Okay, so gentlemen, it's just us. Let's sit around the table if you don't mind. And we're looking at the Gemara Daf Vav Amud Aleph, six lines down in the wide lines. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hamafareish Vayotze Bishayara. He's leaving on a trip. And the term Shayara usually indicates a distance. If you take a look at Rashi on the third line, Rashi says, I'm a farish, third of the wide lines, I'm a farish min yabash al yam, right? He's taking off from the dry land out to through the seas. You know, they traveled through the seas. That was always a long trip. But Shayara, Shayara means l'makom rachok. So he's really going on a long trip. And therefore the possibility is going to be, as we'll soon see, that he's leaving before Pesach in a way that he may not even be back Pesach time. And the issue is going to be whether he's chayv in Bedikah. When he knows he's leaving now and he won't be around on Yudalid, which is the time for Bedikah's Chametz, to implement Bedikah. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says it depends. Kodem Shloshim Yom, the key... The critical time period is 30 days before the Chag, right? Let's say Purim time, Shushan Purim time. So if he's leaving so far in advance, Ein Zochuk Levar. I mean, he doesn't have to go through the process of Biur. What question is obvious here?
Why
30
days?
No, before we get to the 30 days, but I'm saying Ein Zochuk Levar. Focus on that.
Shouldn't it be Bidiga, not Biur?
Okay, let's assume that the word beer in the Gemara, we're going to see this over and over again, includes both Bedikah and beer. Okay, no, your point is excellent. But I'm worried about something to lavim in the Torah that we've been dealing with for quite a while now. Which to lavim?
You can't own chametz.
Right, by your Rabbi Matzi, you can't own chametz. So you're going to tell me Ein Zochuk Levar. But so what if Ein Zochuk Levar? He doesn't have to go through the entire cumbersome process of Bedikah and beer, but nevertheless, he's going to violate what? He's going to violate Bal Yerov Ayamotzei. Now, if I have chametz on the moon, and I'm very, very far away from the moon, but yet it's my chametz, do I violate Bal Yerov Ayamotzei? I certainly do. Because it's my chametz.
Well,
I mean,
doesn't really count.
What do you say?
They are technical, but not in the soul long does it count?
I think so. I think so. As long as it's mine, anywhere in the universe, I own it.
Anywhere? The universe, yeah.
Why are you planning a long trip?
So let's say you shoot a bit of time, no?
Well, exactly. So that's what I would assume, that in this sugya we're talking about post-bittul. Now, if you'll tell me, Rabbi, where does it say anywhere on the page that we're talking post-bittul? So let me just refresh your memory. Yesterday we discussed the previous statement of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, which you'll see... on the second of the wide lines, Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Hamotzei Chametz Bebeso B'Yontif. Now you found chametz in your house on Yontif. Yeah. Once again, what violations should you be incurring now? By your Rabbi Yemotzei. So what would be your knee-jerk reaction? What should you do if you find chametz in your house on Yontif? I know, kicking it out. Again, you can kick it as far as the moon. You get a 63-yard goal. The goal, but it doesn't field goal. But it's not gonna exempt you from Bal Yerov Ayamotzei. So you know what? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav gives you a kind of lame excuse here. You know what? Kofol Avos HaKli. Oh, what do you mean Kofol Avos HaKli? I'm going to violate Bal Yerov Ayamotzei. So Rashi is bothered by this question. And Rashi says, Kofol Avos HaKli, it's a little bit lower down in the skinny lines of Rashi. Rashi says, Umiyu b'bali yiroya lo avar. What is bothering Rashi here?
The fact that he's going to be over by
Yerov Ayamotzei. And what solution is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav offering in this situation? Kofol Avos HaKli, is that going to solve the problem of by Yerov Ayamotzei? Absolutely not. So Rashi is forced, he's compelled to say that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is discussing a case where the batle belibe miesmo, he already fulfilled the bittul, the chiyuv bittul.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I'm just pointing out that Rashi here in Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav's context, and we have a whole string of halachas in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rav, all addressing a case where he did bittul, and therefore he reduced the iser from he negated Bal Yerov Ayamotzei through bittul, but now we have a chiyuv derabanan of Bidika. So again, Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta, when he says on the second line, Vodkim, Shalom Yavrol, Balyrobay Matzei, Rashi's talking about a case where there was no what? No Bittul. But now, Rashi and above, in this whole string of Durabanans of Bittul, of Bidika, he's going to assume he already implemented Bittul. Once he implemented Bittul, he has circumvented what problem? If he doesn't have Bayiro Bayimotze, it's only a Durabanan, and therefore Koflavus Akli as a stopgap measure, sort of a band-aid on top of the wound, is going to cover him until after Yontif when he can burn the Chametz.
Why does it so move?
Well, he can't move the Chametz because it's Muktzah. That's, again, that was yesterday's discussion.
Exactly. Once it's Muktzah, if it was in your house, you might as well do something with it. Say you weren't mevatel, say you didn't do bittul. What's its muksa? So what do we say? Do we say you should be over the muksa and me?
No,
say you
should burn it.
On yontif?
On yontif. You could burn it on yontif.
Every single moment that you have it is...
Right. And Tosis, if you remember back on Daf Heyam and Beis, Dima Maskal Lo Amrita Mitov, we had a long discussion about this in that one. Says that even if you hold that... Even if you hold that mitoch requires a tzarech hayom ktsas, Tosa says four lines down from the top, hocha mashu mevayr havi litzorech. So certainly beer would be considered litzorech hayom if he didn't implement bittul. Rashi saying in the case, an event where he already had made his bittul, so he already negated, let's call it nulled and voided the Bali Rabbi Matzah, he's left with a chiv b'dika d'rabbanan. So we're afraid that he might eat the chametz. The Rabbanan will allow him just for that period of time until after Yontif to be kofal of a sakli. What happens?
If there's a bittul, then this Bali Rabbi Matzah is not applied. There's no
correct, reason. And nobody disagrees with that. That's a gemara that you always have to remember on Daf Dalet Amud Beis midaraisa b'bittul ba'al masagi, which means that the Torah relies on bittul in order to remove Bali Rabbi Matzah. It's not considered your chametz. However, if there was no bittul, then you violate by Rabbi Matzi. Two lavim in a Torah. Again, the two lavim are very similar, as we discussed, and they perhaps mirror image each other, but they're two separate lavim. So it's a double whammy Iser. And Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta points out that we don't find that by any other Iser whatsoever. We don't find it by Basa B'chol of Bali Rabbi Matzi. We don't find it by Klaya Kerem. We don't find it by Orla. There are many Isurim in the Torah, Macholos Asurim, which are very severe. You're not even able to fit it to your dog. But you're allowed to keep it in your house. Chametz is very unique. It has Bali Yirah by Yimotz in addition to the Isra Achilu. Now, once he's had Bittul, Rashi says, now we're worried about Shem Yovel Yochlo. So you need Bidika. If you can't do the Bidika in the beer, Kofalov, Esakli. What about someone who's leaving his house on a long trip before Pesach?
Right,
so, if he's leaving 30 days before Pesach, take a look at the Gemara. Hamafarsh Yotzei Shor Kodim Shloshim Yom, more than 30 days before. So, on Erev Purim, he's leaving his house. Correct? Mm-hmm. So, he's got a 31-day buffer period. Mm-hmm. Is Ein Zokuk Levar? What does that mean, Ein Zokuk Levar? What about Bal Yerov Bayimotzei? Rebbeinu Shalela? The answer is going to have to be that he did. Bittul.
But is that like a hard assumption to have? Meaning it seems easy, because once the Gemara discussed Bittul, you'd assume, according to like, at least the Tosaf and Rashi beforehand, it's like a requirement.
Correct.
So meaning it's not like a hit. Like, I don't find that to be the biggest issue. I mean, it is an issue, obviously Rashi brings it up, because it's not so obvious, but it's not like...
No, again, Rashi just wants to make sure that we're on the same page here, that all these kulos, you know, that you don't have to burn the chametz, or your kofel of sakli, or you're leaving 30 days before, so you don't have to do beer, all this assumes that he already did bittul. Rashi wants you to know that, and he's got to clear the record. Now, here's an issue, Shalom, this would be an interesting issue, and the post can go to town. In this case where he's leaving his house more than 30 days before Yontif, when does he make the bittul? Yeah. Normally, when do you make a bittul?
The day before Erev Pesach.
Uh-huh. Well, say even better. Bittul always should be attached to what?
Bidika.
To Bidika.
Yeah.
There'll be another bittul afterwards. That's complicated. Why we need a second bittul? But the real classical bittul should be attached to Bidika. In this case, we can't apply that rule because he's not doing Bidika.
Yeah.
He's checking out of his house. He's on his way to the Dominican Republic. And he's not chayv in bedika. So what are you going to do with bittul? Bittul now in a sense, floats in midair. It's not attached to anything. Bittul should always be anchored. So there's going to be a whole slew of poskim who are going to insist that he does bittul before he leaves his house. So it's interesting that when he leaves his house 31 days before the Chag, there is a chiyuv of, we call it in modern Hebrew, muda'ut. You familiar with that term? Muda'ut means an awareness. You have to have a muda'ut of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatz, even though it's 31 days before the Chag. And those poskim are going to require bittul 31 days before the Chag. Most poskim, however, are going to insist that he do the bittul at the regular classical time. And whether or not that bittul will be attached to bedika is going to depend upon another question. What question is that? Is he doing bedika the night before Pesach? He left 31 days before Pesach.
He can still do it.
Oh, where? Wherever he ends up. And this is relevant to anyone who's going away for Pesach. Again, it's a little premature to talk about this. When we get close to the Chag, we'll talk about this. But if you go away for Pesach, a lot of people go to Florida for Pesach. Yeah, hopefully you go to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach. That's going to be my pitch. Aliyah Larego. But in any event, if you're going to a hotel for Pesach, the question is, do you have to do a bedika in the hotel room? So if you come in on the day of Erev Pesach, so you've already come in after Shas Chova, that's a sugya back on Daf Dalet Amud Ba'alef called Maskir and Socher. And basically what we said was the Socher is exempt from Bedika if he came into the house, rented the house, on your Dalet itself, on the day itself.
But a non-Jew not chayv in it, and you're renting it from a non-Jew.
Yeah, exactly.
You have no idea. There's no chayv there at all.
So this would depend on the Torah Chaim. I keep hocking you with this Torah Chaim. I gave it to you about five times already. Yeah. The Torah Chaim basically says that the whole sugya of maskir and socher presumes that both the maskir and the socher are chayv in bedikah. Yeah. The Gemara is suffek. The Gemara vacillates. Well, who has the obligation, the primary obligation, to implement the bedikah? But in a fallback situation, if one or the other doesn't do bedikah, then the other one has to do bedikah. So if the maskir didn't do bedikah, then the socher would have to do bedikah. So one of the issues about going away for Pesach to a hotel is going to be whether or not you have to check for chametz.
But if you do, and you don't like a bracha, I mean, there's no issue. Like, it can't hurt you to check.
No, I'm just asking whether you're chayav to check, because if you're chayav to check,
why would you have
it? Alright, so let's leave that. I don't want to get off on a tangent now. But keep in mind that this question of bittul, we're not sure exactly when the bittul should be recited by someone who's leaving his house 31 days before the Chag, but definitely this bittul as an assumption, otherwise the Gemara makes no sense. Whether or not he's chayv in bedika, so that's the stance that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav is willing to take. Since he's leaving 31 days before the Chag, he's not chayv in bedika bir. Of course, we're going to have to see what happens if his intention is to come back during Pesach. That's going to be the Gemara of Abaye and Rav. But let's go on. Now Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says the following. Tov shloshim yom. If he hits that 30-day mark, the buzzer goes off, he hasn't left his house yet. Zokuk levar, he has to do bedika. And here the poskim clearly indicate, nobody argues with this, that he's got to do bedika at nighttime. Because again, there are two advantages. Let's just review what we know. Two advantages to bedika at night. Number one is b'nei adam mitzuyim bivateim. Number two, araner yafeh lebedika. So the night before he leaves, before his Yotze L'Shayor, he's got to do bedika. Why? Because it's Tov Shloshim Yom. And once he's hit that Tov Shloshim Yom mark, he's chayv in bedika. So Rabbi said, let's take a break for a moment before we get into this gigantic machlok shin abai for Rav. Just even before that, I have a problem with this Gemara. I don't want to start crying because I get very emotional about it. This Gemara makes no sense to me, and I feel like a total ignoramus when I read this. Because this Gemara indicates that what is the key, what is the date, you know, the tarikh, as we say, what is the key date on the Hebrew calendar for the Chiyuv Bedikah?
30 days before
the Chag. I don't get it. The Gemara says on Daf Dalet that the key date for the Chiyuv Bedikah is not 30 days before the Chag, but rather what?
The night.
Well, you're Dalet B'Nisan. And therefore the Gemara establishes, this is not just theoretical, this is absolutely practical, that in the case where there's a maskir and a socher, who's holding on to the keys? Who's chayav b'dika? And the Gemara establishes that he's who's holding on to the keys when? Leil Yudalit. I don't get it. Forget about Leil Yudalit. What about the fact that the maskir was holding on to the keys 30 days before the chag? In other words, there's an what seems to my P-brain to be an absolute head-on collision between two sugyas on what might be the most fundamental question about Bedika. Namely, when is the date? Here's my calendar, right? And I've got to pinpoint a certain date on that calendar and say, that's when the Chiyuv Bedika emerges. And what's the answer to that question? I have two answers, and I don't know which one is right. I open up the Gemara on Daf Yudalit, on Daf Dalit, and I come to the clear conclusion that the key date for engendering the Chiyuv Bedika is Yudalit. If the maskir is holding on to the keys on Yudalit, he has to do the Bedika. If the socher already got the keys before Yudalit, then the socher has to do Bedika. But then I open up the Daf Vav and I get an entirely different answer. When is the key date on the Hebrew calendar to engender a Chiyuv Bedika? 30 days before the Chag. You're in the house 30 days before the Chag, you're Chayv B'dika. I don't care where you're going. You could be going very, very far. On a Yotzil Sher Rash Tazavokum Barecha. You're Chayv B'dika. You're in the house. That's if you're in the house within 30 days. But you're outside of your house before the 30 days. You haven't entered into the zone, the Chayv B'dika zone, because you're out of the house 30 days before the Chag. Then you're part of B'dika. I would have said, in the light of the sugya of Dalit, that everything should depend on your Dalit. If you're checking out of your house on Yud Gimel, and you're on your way to Yehuppetz land, you know, you're taking a very fast, what was the name of those planes that they took them out of service, I think? Those super duper fast planes. Was it before? The Concorde, right. You remember the Concorde? It's before you were born, maybe. I don't know how long ago was the Concorde. They used to say that if you fly from New York to London on a Concorde jet plane, you get there earlier than when you left. Because of the time difference. So, it's interesting, they called up a rabbi in New York, you know, to officiate at a funeral in London, because he was the closest rabbi to that mishpacha. So he got on a Concorde plane and he flew to London. By he got there before the Patira. You didn't get the job. But anyway, so imagine on Leil Yud Gimel, I take a Concorde plane and I'm out there in, I don't know where, you know, in the Medina Sayyam, I'm selling, you know, I'm selling beads in China, you know, before Yotif comes in. And therefore I should be potter from Bedika because I left on Yud Gimel. If on the other hand I left on Yud Dalit after nightfall, so we're talking about Tov Kedei Chiyuv Bedika, the Bedika Chiyuv Bedika has been engendered by Yud Dalit, then I should be Chayav Bedika. But everything should depend on Yud Dalit. Why does the Gemara here on Daf Vav in the Sugya of Amram Yudam Arav Hayotze B'Shayar B'Farish Hayotze B'Shayar? If it's Kodim Shloshim Yom Ein Zot Levar, Tov Shloshim Yom Zot Levar. Why Shloshim Yom? Why not Yud Dalit? What he said?
Nobody's
going
home on that
day,
on the Dalit. So,
yeah,
meaning it's
all.
The
Chiyuv
gets advanced
before to whenever
you last signed on
Daf Dalit. Masha'en Kain over there on Daf Dalit. Why Daf Dalit? Is the Gemara saying it all depends on Yud Dalit on Erev Pesach? What happened to Shloshim Yom? Again, the Maskir is renting you the house within 30 days
total. Accessible on that day.
What do you mean accessible? Somebody's actually living. The maskir has no access to the house. He gave the keys. I'm the maskir, you're the soker. Yeah, right? It's 29 days before the chag, right? We've celebrated Shushan Purim. We're okay now. Now I rent you the house. I should be chai from Bedika. I'm the maskir, I'm the landlord. Because I had the keys in my possession 30 days before the chag. So you'll tell me I'm a person who cares about 30 days before the chag, and I'll quote you this Gemara. And I thought that if I leave the house within 30 days, I have to do B'dik. Because the Chiyuv B'dik is engendered within 30 days.
Discuss where nobody available to do B'dik on the Dalit.
Which case are we talking about? Again, are you a Maskir B'Sokar or Yotzi B'Sheyor? On Daf Vav, Yotzi B'Sheyor, there's no one to do B'dik, and therefore what?
therefore the chiyuv gets advanced to the last time when it'll be available to be done.
Masha'inkin or daf yudalit or daf dalit.
When there is
people. Masha'inkin or daf dalit. How's it different or daf dalit? Maskin soker.
People are present.
Well, I don't know what you mean there are people. I mean, can we just mention one person?
The
Zohar is brilliant. Wait, one second. He's saying something absolutely brilliant. This might take us out of the darkness and bring us into the light. It's supposed to be sunny tomorrow. So we're doing this in advance. Says Gavriel the following. That if the B'dika will be done, but the issue is who will do the B'dika. That's the Sugyan Dafta. There's no question the B'dika will be done. The house will be bodek. But the issue is, upon which individual does the Chiyuv B'dika fall? Where does the obligation rest? Does it rest on Mr. Masker or Mr. Socher? But Ech Shaloyah, no matter how you slice the case, the B'dika will be done. Then the key tarif is what?
You're done.
But if there's no Socher, there's no fall, the bias will not be baduk. Now we want to know, at what point does the chiyuv have bias, that the bias necessarily has to be rectified, has to be cleaned of its chametz? When does that emerge, and what's the critical date for that?
30 days.
In this case, what's on the line, what's in the balance here, is whether the bias will be baduk, not so on daf dalet. In Masker and Socher, the question of whether the bias will be baduk or not is not on the line. It's definite the bias will be what? We've got a question: is which gavra is chayav to implement that chiyuv b'dika?
Cheftza gavra.
I like it. In the case of that vav, we're dealing with the cheftza. No, the cheftza. Why? Because the cheftza will not be bodek. Or you want to know when does the chiyuv emerge as far as the cheftza, the bias, is concerned? When does the bias generate a chiyuv b'dika? 30 days. That's your critical time period. But if you're talking about a bias that's already emerged with a chiyuv b'dika, we're already within the time zone of b'dika's chametz, within the 30 days. Now your question is a question of which gavra is chayav in b'dika. Then the Gemara says it's a whole different date. Then the critical date is what? Is Yudalit. If the maskir was there, he had the keys on Yudalit, then he picks up the chiyuv gavra. If the socher was there on Yudalit, he picks up the chiyuv gavra. The chiyuv bias already was inherently engendered in the house itself 30 days before. The question is now which gavra has to implement that.
So, nothing, you know?
Is that what you meant, Gavriel? Okay. I'm not sure exactly, but all right. Well,
so, nothing is completely different things. The socher, the master, whatever, Len is renting his house to somebody, but I rent my house to Gabriel, and Gabriel isn't going to be there over Pesach. I rent my house to somebody on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? And he's not going to be there until the middle of the year. So nobody's going to be in the house between now and then. Who's the chiyav on then?
So wait, you gave the keys over to him?
I rented him, but 3 days before, and I knew nobody was going to be in the house.
Well,
when I left the house a couple days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I knew nobody would be in there until the year.
So wait, let's just go through a simple case, then we'll come to you a more complicated case. Supposing on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you rent the house to Gabriel and you give him the keys.
Yes.
You don't know what his plans are. Will he go into the house? Let me just, the first case, the simple case.
Simple case.
Your case is more complicated. So I'm saying let's go through the simple case. So you give the keys over to Gabriel. Then I would say, according to strict halacha,
it's on him. It's on his own.
He's chai. Mimarsh. The Chovitz bias has already emerged with the 30th. And the Chovitz Gavra will emerge because by the 14th at night, he, Gavriel, is holding on to the keys.
Yes.
Now you have a new case. Here's Shalom's question. What happens if, again, who tells who? Gavriel tells you, the masker, that he's not, he has no intention to go.
Yeah, I know Gavriel's not going to be there. I know.
How do you know? He tells you.
He tells me. Assuming he tells me. Let's go with so we can actually clarify.
I don't know if the fact that Gavriel tells you, he's paying for the extra 2 weeks rent, even though he's not going to use the house, therefore he can exempt himself from
that. Because I want to rent out my house for the year. I mean, it's logical. I want to rent out my house for the year.
Right.
And therefore, the year starts then.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying, I don't know if if the Gemara of Maskir and Socher that we learned on Daf Dalet, you know, with the Socher, he picks up the Maftechs on Yud Gimel, let's say, on Yud Gimel, in certain Kol Shkei, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I don't know if the Gemara adds a proviso, you know, conditional on the fact that Gavriel intends to live there. It could be that once Gavriel has already acquired his halachic kinyonim, Rashi identifies, if you remember, Mesiris Maftechus with a kinyon schirus. And even according to Tosus, who says it's not exactly kinyon schirus, but it's certainly accessibility to the house in such a way that excludes anyone else. If you have exclusive accessibility to the house, then you're chayv b'dika. The fact that you never intended to move into the house, I don't know that that should be any real. I didn't see anyone adding that clause.
Not listening to you recommend that anything for me. If I know he's not doing the house,
it's his head.
It's his head. Yeah.
That's what I would say. And he knows that because the Gemara vacillates. If let's say he gets the maftechus after the chiyuv b'dika, and does he rely on the fact that you, the masker, did the b'dika? Not.
Yeah.
But clearly, if he got the maftechus, the accessibility, exclusive accessibility to the house before you dalid, then he has both the chovas bias, as far as the hefta, as we said, and the chovas kafir. Whether or not he takes advantage of his monetary zchuyot, you know, to live in the house,
yeah,
that's up to him.
So, in just conducting this quickly, is that if he, say I'm not coming back in the house within 30 days, the chiyuv bias is on me. Right? I leave on a couple days before Rosh Chodesh, the chiyuv bias is on me. Then, when I left the house, I didn't know I was going to rent it to him. Then I rent the house to him. Now does the zechiyah transfer to him now? Meaning, because I rent the house within 30 days, I have to do a bedika.
Right, and he may have an additional chiyuv b'dika.
So
meaning,
there
might be a double-edged chiyuv b'dika. Now, in that case, I would go back to your original point that if he doesn't move into the house, then we go back to chizkas baduk, meaning, and therefore the house is already baduk. Now that would be an interesting scenario. Okay, now we get to the major machlokas here between Abai and Rav. Okay, Omar Abai, Hadi Avrit Toshloshin Yom Zochuk Levayer. That which Rabbi Yehuda and Rav established, that once you remain in the house past the 30-day date, you're within the zone of Bedikas Chametz. Lo Amaron, that itself is conditional. There's no absolute rule that since Shushan Purim, you're in the house, you're absolutely chayv and bedikah. Lo Amaron Ella, it only applies when? Shedaito Lachzon. Meaning, Abai sees the chiyuv of the 30-day, of the 30-day tarich that we spoke about, you know, that the chiyuv bias is engendered, only if you will not be able to do bedika because you're arriving on Pesach. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Daito Lachzar Bimea Pesach. Avol Ein Daito Lachzar Ein Zokuk Levayer. If you have no intention of returning, so we're missing the punchline. We're missing what I call the back of a patish. What closes the gap and seals the chiyuv b'dika? It's not enough that you reach the 30-day mark, but it's also the fact that you will be living in a house during Pesach. According to Abaye, if you're not going to live in the house at all during Pesach, that's an absolute exemption from the chiyuv b'dika. Why? Because true, there's a chiyuv bias that begins in the 30 days, but that chiyuv bias is because the bias will be used during Pesach by a Jew who might have access to the chametz, might mistakenly, inadvertently eat the chametz. That's what generates the chiyuv b'dika, and it's going to push the chiyuv b'dika all the way back to 30 days. But if you're not going to be there during Pesach, says Abai, karama, why shouldn't you be chiyuv b'dika? Omalei Rava. Rava says, I don't understand what you're talking about, Abai. Ve'i daito lachzar. If he intends to come back on Pesach, it means that he's already going to enter into the house without bedikah. Right? Because why? According to you, Abai, if it's daito lachzar, right? He's intending to come back on Pesach, right? His helicopter is going to land on Pesach in his house, right? So in that case, what would Abai say? Is he chayav b'dika or not? It depends. If he's leaving within 30 days, chayav. But if he leaves 31 days before the chag, he's not chayav b'dika. What is he going to do the b'dika, Rebbe Baruch Shalom? He's landing on Pesach. Is afili Rosh Hashanah nami? This is the connection between our sugya and Yoni Biola. Right? We should have learned the sugya right before Rosh Hashanah. So it comes out now that there's a fantastic machlokas between Abai v'Rav. El Amar Rava, Hadi Amri Kodim Shol Shem Yom Ein Zakuk Levayer. If he leaves 30 days plus, Lo Amar Ein Shein El Shein Daito Latsar. Well, Daito Latsar is afili mi Rosh Hashanah Zakuk Levayer. In other words, Rava postulates two distinct independent mechayvim and bdikas homes. Yechayvim and bdikas, if one of two conditions are met, either it's a daito laksar situation, or even if it's ain't daito laksar, it's toshloshim yom. In other words, according to Rava, toshloshim yom is an absolute mechayv of bdikas homes. Abai learns that toshloshim yom is going to be mechayev b'dika if the other if the absolute condition was met that it's daito latsar. So as Abaye postulates a daito latsar as an absolute condition, Rava says that shloshim yom is an absolute condition. So according to Abaye, you're only chayev b'dika when it's daito latsar. If it's ain't daito latsar, you're potter from b'dika. Even if it's daito latsar going to Abai, we still have another condition. Abai postulates two conditions. Number one, it's got to be daito latsar. Number two, it's got to be toshel shem yom.
So if you lose,
what Abai is going to say to defend himself against Rava's onslaught, we have to rack our brains. But before we get to that, just to formulate, if somebody could write this down, just to formulate the machlokes between Abai and Rava again. According to Abai, the chiyuv b'dika is conditional upon the checking off of two conditions. You have to fulfill two conditions to be chayav in b'dika. Number one, according to Abai, it's got to be daito latsar. That's an absolute rule. And number two, it's got to be toshel shem yom. According to Rava, even if it's ein daito latsar, it's chayav in b'dika. According to Rava, the absolute chayav depends upon one and only one condition, namely shloshim yom. If it's shloshim yom in a case of ein daito latsar, then it's chayav in b'dika. So according to Rava, once it's daito latsar, you chayv in b'dika. According to Rava, once it's toshel shem yom, you chayv in b'dika. According to Rabaye, it's got to be daito latsar, and it's got to be toshel shem yom. According to Rava, if it's daito latsar, he's chayv even for Rosh Hashanah. According to Rava, if it's ain't daito latsar, he's chayv if he's within 30 days. So let's calculate now the nafkaminas between Abai and Rava. In what scenario, or scenarios, will Abai and Rava argue? Case number one. Ein daito latsar, he's leaving Rosh Hashanah. According to Abaye, he's potter from b'dika. According to Rava, he's chayav in b'dika. Because Rava has, according to Rava, he fulfilled the absolute requirement of daito latsar. If it's ein daito latsar, according to Abaye, right? So the first nafkamina was daito latsar, and he's leaving when? Rosh Hashanah. The second nafkamina would be daito latsar. Right, the first nafkamina was daito latsar, and he's leaving Rosh Hashanah. The second nafkamina would be ein daito latsar,
and he's leaving within 30 days.
And he's leaving within 30 days. According to Abaye, he's potter from b'dika, and according to Rava, he's chayav.
We're in four cases, you're chayav according to Rava, and one out of the four you're chayav according to Abaye.
So it seems that the essence of the machlokes between Abai and Rav revolves around what? What would seem to be, as we call the yesod ha-machlokes?
Shorosh.
Shorosh ha-machlokes. Or as Rav Yam would say, shorosh ha-machlokes. What's the shorosh ha-machlokes? So I would say that there are two different issues here, and I don't know if they're interdependent. They may be independent one of the other. The first issue, obviously, is daito latsar. Is that an absolute machayev? Abai's Rava says yes. If it's daito latsar, we can't allow for a situation in which you're going to end up coming into your house on Pesach and there's no bedika. We can't tolerate allow for such a thing. Abai says, no big deal. When is he going to do the b'dika? as soon as he arrives. Right? As soon as he arrives. What's Abai basically saying? Abai is saying that before Shloshim Yom, your mind is not connected to B'dik at all. Right now, the Chachamim are not saying to you on Rosh Hashanah time, you know, in addition to getting your kittel ready and make sure you know how to blow the shofar, you should also worry about B'dikus Chum. So forget about all that. You're going off on a long trip. It's Rosh Hashanah time. You're going away for Rosh Hashanah. Make sure that everything for Rosh Hashanah is taken care of. You know, do tshuva. But don't worry about B'dikus Chum. That doesn't have to be on your mind. Therefore, Abaye sees as the absolute precondition of a Piyah B'dika Shloshim Yom. Shloshim Yom means now you're so close to the Chag, you're within distance, arm's distance of the Chag, you have to embrace the Chiyuvim of the Chag. Now Abaye comes with another principle, not only that, but the Chiyuv Bayis is only meaningful if you will be living in that house. So you need Daita Latsa. So Abai argues with Rav in 2 points. Now we'll come to Rav in just a minute. But number one, premise number one is Abai says that before Shloshim Yom, there is no mindset. You know the Gemara is going to say, Shloshim Yom Kodesh Chag is Oskim Bilchas, what's the Lashon in the Gemara? Is Sholom Vidarsha Bilchas HaPesach, Kodesh Pesach Shloshim Yom. If it's before 31 days and up, you're not even being shol v'dorish bilchus ha-pesach. You're not even asking any questions. It's not on your mind. That's the first premise of Abai, and Rav is going to disagree with that. The second premise of Abai is that chiyuv b'dika, even as far as the chovas bias of Shloshim Yom is concerned, is contingent on your living in that bias with the chametz during the pesach. Therefore, based on these two principles, Abai is going to require a double condition to be fulfilled before the chiyuv b'dika emerges. Number one, it's got to be Daito Latsor so that you'll have a bias here that's going to be inhabited during Pesach with chametz in it. Number two, it's got to be Tol Shloshim Yom, because before Shloshim Yom, there's nothing to talk about. It's an empty blank tablet which doesn't have the word B'dik on it. And Rav is going to disagree with Abai on two counts. Now let's go through Rav. Rav is going to say, first of all, if it's Daito Latsor and you're going to come on Pesach, we cannot tolerate putting you in a situation in which come Pesach, you're living in a house with chametz in it. And now you're going to make the bedikah. That's going to take you a while till you do the bedikah. Maybe you won't do it on time. Rav, therefore, will be mechayev you now when you make your plans to leave your house in such a way that you won't be able to fulfill your bedikah before Pesach. And you know you're coming back on Pesach. That fact that you will be living in the house on Pesach, together with the fact that we can't tolerate and allow a laid-back position that you'll do the bedikah on Pesach, we're going to be mechayev you in bedikah from Rosh Hashanah. If it's ein daito latsor, now we can be more permissible. We can give you a little bit of license. You know, it's ein daito latsor. So then, Rava says there's an absolute chiyuv bedikah that emerges on Shloshim Yom. With Shloshim Yom, there's an unconditional chiyuv bedikah, no contingency.
Abai says
you have to have, for B'dikas Chametz, even as far as the bias, some sort of connection between the person and the house over Pesach. So if it's ain't died to lots of going to Abai, there's no.
So immediately he's on pre-Pesach service. And he doesn't have intention to come back.
Because the Chometz bias is conditional. But once he's in Yudal, that's already Chometz Kav. That's already the Sugya on Dafta. And then Abai would agree that you can't check out of your house after Tzeisek HaChom and say, I'm parted from the Dik. The Azda Rabbal Tamei Diyama Rava Ha'osa Beso Otsar Kodim Shloshim Yom Ein Zok Levar Tok Shloshim Yom Zokuk Levar. Okay, now here's a case where a person has chametz in his house. He hasn't done any bedika all year round. He uses his house for chametz, and now he wants to convert his house, which could be one room in his house, and we're focusing on that one room, into an otsar. What's an otsar?
Storage.
So he's piling up stuff on top of the floor. If there's any chametz on the floor, it's now completely submerged under all this stuff. Okay, we'll see. Rashi's going to help us clarify this in just a second. So, would this otsar exempt the Baal Bayis from a chiyuv b'dika? Rava says it depends. He cannot exempt himself from a chiyuv b'dika unless it's kodim shloshim yom. once you've hit Shloshim Yom, you have a Chiyuv B'dika. Again, because there's no Gavra here that's going to, you know, as a fallback position, so it's only him. And making your house into an Otsar is not a fulfillment of your Chiyuv B'dika. Let's just read one more line in the Gemara, so we'll have, and then we'll see Rashi. The Gemara says, V'kodim Shloshim Nami Lo Amaron, El She'ein Daito Lufanosa, Well Daito Lufanosa, Filim Kodim Shloshim Nami Zokhik Levar. If his intention is to remove the storage and shift it or transport it to another storage house, then in any event he has to do B'dika, even if it's Kodim Shloshim Yom. But now let's explain Rashi, just 1 minute. First of all, let's read the Rashi, Afilim Rosh Hashanah Nami. We skip that Rashi. Rashi says, the Chi Hodr Bebi Mea Pesach Over Alei Vahi Shaita La Bershusi Hi Delevatle Shari Iser Hanohu Vienu Shalom Ukshiro Ehu Over Alei. This is where the poskim that I indicated before come to the conclusion that the Bittul always has to be attached to a Chovas B'dika. You know, the Chachamim envisioned anchoring the Chiv Bittul down to a certain moment of time. So Rashi holds that if he's leaving his house in such a way that he will not be able to do Bittul, then he has to do Bittul now. And why can't he do Bittul later on? Well, he's not going to do B'dika, so the Bittul is not going to be attached to the B'dika. He's going to end up therefore with doing Bittul on Pesach? Rashi says, we know that there's no possibility of Bittul on Pesach. Now, how does Rashi know that there's no possibility of doing Bittul on Pesach? That's the next sugya in the Gemara that we're going to do, Virs Hashem, after Shabbos. Otsar. What's an Otsar? Rashi says, Shehichli Sham Tvua, he piles up his grains, V'tachteo underneath it, Chametz, V'amir L'kamon, is a sugya later on. We'll see if we get to it or not before Sukkot. Chametz Shenofel of Mapolis, Harei Hu Kimavua. Again, now you need a lot of mapolis, a lot of debris to fall and bury the chametz in order to be potter from bedik and biur. You don't have to undo it. You don't have to dig it up, expose the chametz in order to destroy it. But tosh loshim zokuk levayer. Why? After all, he's piling stuff onto his chametz.
He also have to tear it up, so you can't just.
Say it again?
You also have to destroy the chametz, so if it's tosh loshim yom, you can't just put stuff on it and just bring stuff and bring the biur.
Again, we're talking about ein daito lefanoso, right? We're talking about ein daito lefanoso tosho shinyon.
Yeah.
And he's chayiv in bedika.
Yeah.
So Rashi asks the question, why is he chayiv in bedika? After all, chomet shenofel of mapolis arev kimavur, right? Yes. So Rashi's saying it's kimavur, but it's not mavur. So tosho shinyon, once the chayiv bedika emerges, we're not going to rely on artificially actively creating a common shenafel of mapolis situation. And Rashi has four words here at the bottom of the page. Rashi says, "Lechatchila lo zehu biuro." That's not how the mitzvah of biur was envisioned, was formulated by Chacham. You don't fulfill your chiyuv biur by doing this artificial act of otsar, of making it into an otsar. Where did the number 30 days come from? Kinesanya, the Gemara answers based on a brisa. Sholim v'dorshim v'luchas ha-pesach kodim ha-pesach shloshim yom. The chiyuvei chametz are intended 30 days when you have to study the laws of Pesach. Some say that sholim v'dorshim means sholim is a chiyuv on the community or a license for the community to bother the rabbi with all sorts of questions. And darshan means that the rabbi himself has to take the initiative actively and teach the halachas of Pesach. That's according to the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Shtei Shabbosos. Okay, so I don't know if Shtei Shabbosos means a half month. It could be that Shtei Shabbosos means
1 week, 8 days.
Right, it could be only 8 days. All right, so we'll have to analyze that in light of the sugya that's coming around the bend right here when we went into my time in Tanakhama. Shari Moshe Omeid be Pesach Rishon Umazir al Pesach Shein. Shenemar Vayasu b'nei Yisrael Pesach b'moado. So here I have a chumash. Let's check the pasuk in chumash. We're in Parshas Baal Loscha, and we'll look. looking for the pasuk Vayasu Bnei Yisrael Es HaPesach B'Mod. Do you have that in the on the Torah R? Does he tell you where it is? I think it's in Parshat Baloscha, is it not? Alright. You want to take a look and see if you find it? I'm pretty sure we'll find it. Base. Okay, good. So it's, I was looking later on in the chapter. Yeah. Vaydaber Hashem, I'm going back to Pascal for a second. Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'shana Shenis l'tzeisim at Yitzchayim b'chodesh al-rishon le'mor. So we're in Chodesh Nisan in the second year out of Yitzis Mitzrayim. V'yasu b'nei Yisrael sa'posach b'mod. Moshe Ben is already telling them to prepare for the Korban Pesach. Now, if we assume b'chodesh al-rishon means on Rosh Chodesh itself, No. You see, the Gemara says the following, on top line on the day, it says, Shari Moshe Omei B'Pesach Rishon. You see what that means by Pesach Rishon?
Yeah.
It means on the 14th of Nisan. Right. It's a little bit strange, by the way, because the words of Moshe Rabbeinu are the following, Dar Vosa Yom HaKodesh HaZeh Tasu also. But he should have said Hayom if it's on the 14th. Now, if this is on the 14th of Nisan, and clearly we're in Kodesh Nisan, how did the Chacham derive from this 30 days? So Rashi says, V'dorish lan behuchas Pesach HaSheni. What is the calendar date for Pesach HaSheni?
Iyar.
The 14th of Iyar. Dayan Shloshim Yom Sharvas of Iyar. So from the 14th of Nisan, Moshe Rabbeinu is already warning them, he's already teaching them the halachas of Pesach of Pesach Sheni, so it's a full month in advance. Now, how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to them about the laws of Pesach Sheni? After all, this whole parasha is about Pesach Rishon, and the answer is you skip down a few psukim, and it says, "Vayu anashim shahoyl tmeim lenefesh adam, v'loyoth lasa pesach bayomahu." And then they asked all the laws, "Vaydaber Hashem daber bnei Yisrael, ishki tomei lenefesh, yeh tomei lenefesh." Those are the laws of Pesach Shame. So he's preempting the laws of Pesach Shame by 1 month. Now you might ask, well, maybe that's what happened chronologically. You know, the people came to ask this question, and Moshe went to Hashem and he asked the question in their name and he got the answer. But the Gemara is assuming, according to this Tanakhama Shita, that since the Torah codified this, so to speak, included in the Torah, that that's not the Tzokim for all eternity, the Torah is trying to tell us to establish halacha for all generations. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omar Lecha, he doesn't like this. Okay? Rav Shimon Gamliel was the one who argued with the Tanakhama. And he says, I did the Iri Bemilu de Pischa, Masiklu Lechol Milu de Pischa. Because really, he was interested, Moshe Rabbeinu was interested in teaching the laws of Pesach Rishon. But there's no indication that he taught Pesach Sheni in advance, other than the fact that once he was dealing with the laws of Pesach, he told him about the option in a case of a tummy there of a chokah, that he can bring the Pesach on Yidal Iyar. So where does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel know that you have to teach the halachas in advance? He can't learn it from Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni. So my time to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Shrei Moshe Omeid Birosh Chodesh Umazir Al HaPesach. Because Moshe Rabbeinu began, he initiated the process of teaching the words of Pesach when? Not on Yidal Nisan, but on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Shenemar, and here he quotes the Pesukim Parshas Bo, HaKodesh HaZeh Yelachem Rosh Chodoshim. It sounds like he's talking on Rosh Chodesh itself. Uksiv, and it says, Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael Lemar, Besor LaKodesh HaZeh, Vikhu Lahem Ish Celebes Ovos. He teaches them the laws of Korban Pesach. So let's open up now to Shmos Yud Beis. Does he tell you where it is?
Yeah,
Gilon Dalet. Okay. So it says like this, we'll go back again. So Dabru means today. And today is HaKodesh HaZeh Lechem Rosh Chodoshim, is on Rosh Chodesh, but the Gemara is not happy with this. My Dibereish Yarcha Koy, how do you know that this is on Rosh Chodesh? The Torah says that this month is Rosh Chodashim. It doesn't say that today is Rosh Chodesh. Dilma, Biarba Biarcha, Bechamisha Biarcha. So it's only a few days before they have to take the Korban Pesach on the 10th. Koy, that's when he told them, he warned them to take Korban Pesach. Therefore, we have to find an alternative source for Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. El Maraba Bar Simi Mishmei Dor Avinu Mehoch, a different source. We're going back again to Parshas Baaloscha. Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe B'Midbar Sinai. That was the pasuk we read before, pasuk Aleph. Bishon Hashem Shkodesh Rishon Uksiv Yasu B'nei Yisrael Sapesam B'Moado. In other words, on Rosh Chodesh, in this case, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Moshe Ben is already teaching them the laws of Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says the same objection. Why is this a better proof than Parshas Bo? What do you say?
Seems worse.
Right.
On the other one, this is saying this month is the first month of the year for you. So usually when you say like this, it would refer to the first day. You wouldn't wait to the fifth day to say it. This plus it could be any time. It's just Hashem spoke to Moshe during this month, this year.
So the Gemara is going to explain that there is one advantage here, and that's the word B'midbar. Why? Because that leads us to Gzeres Shavah. Omer Nachmar Yitzchok, Asya Midbar, Min Midbar. We can take one Midbar and derive from another Midbar. Ksiv Hocha here in Parshas Baaloscha, it says, Ba-Midbar is B'Midbar Sinai, B'Midbar Sinai. Uksiv Hosam, back in the very beginning of Ba-Midbar, it says, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai. So again, it says the word Midbar Sinai, Bolmoid. And there we see explicitly, it's Echad L'Chodesh Hasheni, it's on the first day of Nisan. Ma'alahal and Rosh Chodesh. Now, the Gemara used the word Mahalan only because it's quoted second, but really it's first. Ma'alahal and Rosh Chodesh. Afkan, here too, in the parasha of Pesach Sheni, in Baaloscha, B'Rosh Chodesh. V'nichtov, the Gemara is upset about something here. Now, all the Rishonim point out that this next question has nothing to do with our sugya, per se. This is already an independent sugya. V'nichtov b'reisha d'chodesh rishon v'hoder nichtov d'chodesh sheni. It's very odd here that the Torah changes the order. The sequence is off. Why? Because the first parasha in the Torah deals with with Pekudim. Right? Pekudim means to take the census of Bnei Yisrael. That's the very beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. That's why Sefer Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPekudim, because the first parasha in Bamidbar. And that's the Chodesh HaSheni, which is Chodesh Iyar. And now here in Baaloscha, which is nine chapters later, deep, deep into Sefer Bamidbar, it says B'Chodesh HaRishon. So that's so strange. The two psukim both referring to the second year of Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Both Bashana Shenis Letzeis Hameretz Mitzrayim. The first pasuk at the very beginning, the kickoff of Sefer Bamidbar, says Bachodesh Hasheni, and here in Baaloscha, nine chapters later, it says Bachodesh Rishon. So this leads to a whole other sugya, which is a very famous sugya, very controversial sugya, called Ein Muktam Umeuchor BaTorah. Or Rabbi Asher Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Rav, also there's Ein Muktam Umeuchor BaTorah. And from this point until the two dots, the Gemara goes through the sugya of Ein Muktam Umeuchor BaTorah. That the Torah is not committed to following a chronological sequence. Now, you should know that on this issue, there's a tremendous machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban that really spans this book from beginning to the end, and everything in between, over and over and over again. I never did the research, I'm sure others have, how many times Rashi and the Ramban disagree about this. Rashi is very, very attuned and accustomed to implement and apply the principle of Ein Muktam Umeuchor BaTorah. Whenever Rashi has a question, he invokes this principle to resolve that question. The Ramban is very wary, and only in very rare occasions will he be willing to invoke the principle of Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah. Basically, according to the Ramban, you can only use Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah when it's clear from the Torah itself. In other words, if you have two things that are written in the Torah, and each one, the Torah attributes a date, an actual calendar date, and you see that the sequence is off, then the Torah itself is telling you that there's a Mukdom that came before the Mu'ukar, and the Mu'ukar was left after the Mukdom. It's clear. Other than that, if there's no explicit mention in the Torah that leads you to the conclusion that the sequence is off, then you must maintain the integrity of the Torah. The Torah doesn't just stop writing things out of order. Rashi's willing to say that the Torah has a body in the way it's written because it's interested in codes and in mitzvot. It's not committed to chronological order. And the Rabbin can't tolerate this. It's one of the biggest... What's the phrase in English, to pick a bone, right? It's in the Ramban, this is the bone to pick, you know, that he can't tolerate in Rashi. The Gemara itself, by the way, is bothered by Ein Mukta Mucha B'Torah, but in a slightly different vein, the Gemara is worried about the halachic implications of Ein Mukta Mucha Torah. Omar HaPopolo Amar El Betray in Yonim. It's got to be two different parashios. Al-Bachad and Yoni within one parasha, it's got to maintain a secret. If you don't agree with me, then one of the 13 principles by which we interpret the Torah is Klal U'Prat, right? Aim Klal U'Mashi Yishma Prat, which means the Klal came first and the Prat came second, because the law changes if the Prat comes first and then the Klal. So in the case where the Klal came first, the Prat codifies or limits and qualifies the klal, aim the klal el mashe befrat. How do you have a right to apply that principle? You're always standing on shaky ground. Dilma, perhaps you could argue the opposite. Prat u klalu. You know, the klal goes beyond the prat. It's not that the prat limits and qualifies the klal, because what you have is not a klal u prat. You have a prat u klal, because aim mukta mucha b'Torah. Visu, and furthermore, not only do you have a problem with klal prat, you have a problem with prat klal. Nasa klal mosif al prat. The klal expands the prat. How do you have a right to expand the prat? Dilma klal pratu. Maybe on the contrary, it's the prat that limits the klal. Ihaki afilu betray yoni nami. So you can apply the principles of klal prat or prat klal all over the Torah. It doesn't matter whether the klal is written in one parasha and the prat in a different parasha, vice versa. How are you going to be able to do that? The Gemara says, Hanifa, that's okay. But Manti Omar, according to one day, it works out. That klal prat hamru chakim zeh, zemizeh, ain't done no so with klal prat. Shaper, then it makes sense. So we only implement the rule of klal prat or prat klal only if they're really very close together, and says Rav Papa that if they're close together, then yesh mukdam mukhar. The Torah is bedafka setting up a sequence. But the Gemara says, but el laman diom adonim. What if you hold that even if they're far from each other, you can still use it as a klal prat? Michael and Neymar. There's an absolute contradiction between two principles here. One is prat klal, and the other is ein mukdam umiyukah b'Torah, because prat klal could only make sense if there's mukdam and there's mukha. But if they mukdam and mukha and the whole sequence is out of kilt, how are you going to know if it's a prat klal or a klal prat? So Gemara says, afilu man yomer danim, we're going to allow for some richuk. It doesn't have to be written in the same pasuk. As your classical klal prat is in the same pasuk. Hani mili bechad inyona. That's only within one parasha. So you have a klal at the beginning of the parasha, and a prat at the end of the parsha is aim b'klal al mashe b'frat. Or if you have a prat at the beginning of the parsha and then a klal at the end of that same parsha, then we say haklal mosif al haprat. But I will betray in yoni if they're in two different parshios, aim done. And we cannot apply the principle of klal prat. That's going to anybody. So whenever you see klal prat or prat klal, you have to automatically assume, based on this sugya, that it's very close to each other. Either it's within the same pasuk, or at least it's within the same parasha. Once we go beyond the parasha, then we apply the principle of Ein Mukdam Umi Uchar Bat Torah. Okay, then we'll stop here.